This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, do it live!
We're
do it live!
Back.
Do it live! I'll write it.
That's
and we'll
right.
Do it live!
Yeah, we're going to do it live because we're
yes!
back in studio.
Yes, we're back and we're live. Look,
we're just going to say the date is August 31st, just so you know we're really Ooh. Here. Or we pre-recorded this a week ago and you still are being fooled. Just
yeah.
kidding. I'm AJ.
No, we're back. I'm Mikayla, and I'm so happy. I love that you played that audio. You know I love it.
Bill O'Reilly gets me fired
up. Just losing his mind.
There's a lot that's gotten me fired up. Apparently, I turned back on my phone and realized the world fell apart in the last week, so we're needed more than ever.
First of all, we made a promo before we left that was like, oh, yeah, I mean, the world could be on fire by the time we get back.
And then, little
and
do
then,
you know.
There's more news now to cover today than in the... Two years we've been here.
Too much. And also, in about 15 minutes from now, we're going to cover all of it in 6 minutes total. There you go. We got about six
awesome.
Or seven stories. We're going to roll through at a rapid fire pace and then just move on like it didn't happen.
Honestly, I feel like this might just have to be a new segment that we do. Just like
yeah.
rapid fire get
stuff
through
we,
the news.
Stuff we should cover because we're adults and we're like a radio station, blah, blah, blah. But we don't really want to talk about like the RNC, which we conveniently missed by taking the week off. Well done, team.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, way to go. Also, Kellyanne Conway stepping down.
I know. I love
Whoa.
That.
Crazy.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is.
But I'm not tired at all. I'm great.
Yeah. I don't need a vacation for my vacation. What's
hey,
that?
My flight wasn't delayed four times last night. I was fine. I love flying from Mexico all the way to San Francisco and then back down to Los Angeles
yeah.
because that's 2020.
That's called traveling. Get into it.
Well, we're going to talk about this. I think we're actually going to talk tomorrow about traveling during the times of COVID. Actually felt much safer out of Los Angeles than I feel in Los Angeles, oddly
too.
Enough. So other countries apparently are handling this thing a little bit better than we are here in the United States, but we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But like I said, coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk about all the stuff that we missed. But before we get there, there is some current news that Mikayla Gordon would love to share with you. It's time for News on the Beat.
I'd love to do it. All right, another weekend of protests turned deadly after a man was shot and killed Saturday night during a clash in Portland. Local authorities haven't released a lot of details about the death, but there were reportedly outbreaks of violence between protesters and pro-Trump counter-protesters. In response to the weekend's event, Oregon Governor Kate Brown said she'll authorize other agencies to help the Portland Police Bureau crack down on demonstrations, and Portland Mayor Tom Wheeler strongly condemned the president.
Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? It's you who have created the hate and the division.
Now, meanwhile, President Trump is scheduled to visit Kenosha, Wisconsin this week, where unrest has continued after last weekend's police shooting of Jacob Blake, a black father. The state's Democratic Governor Tony Evers wrote Trump a letter urging him to reconsider. But as of now, the trip is still on.
It's just how you can't put two and two together.
Yeah, well,
But it's the strategy, though. It's his reelection strategy. We have to be very clear about that. You're either on board with it or you're not. And if you're not, get every single person you know to get out and vote in November. That's it. I mean,
yeah.
It's really that simple. He's trying to distract us and divide us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just looking at the TV before we went live.
No, don't do that.
I can't do anything. And he said, long story, I'm prefacing. He said that
prefacing?
The police officers...
You're prefacing?
How do I say it?
Paraphrasing?
Perfect.
So close.
No, prefacing. When you like say it, no, it's not the word. So it's paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing
so
is like
you're
breaking down a long statement into a short,
it's
concise
short,
thought.
Like, get to the point kind
paraphrasing,
of thing.
Which
okay.
is what you're
All
not
right.
doing now. Oddly enough,
I'm still,
that's ironic.
Sorry, I still think I'm that, parasailing in Mexico.
That is called irony. You're not actually paraphrasing.
Okay, well, whatever. Trump said that it was a mistake that sometimes police officers make and they just choked in regards to Jacob Blake's shooting.
You don't get to make a mistake as a police officer with a gun on
your
holster.
And not during BLM. I mean, we've been
fighting. And not seven times with the guys, you know, children watching. That's not a mistake I'm okay with.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. But we'll definitely cover that in better depth as well. Coming up this show. Now, let's get to a little weather. It's going to be nice today in New York, 70 degrees. It's kind of going to be cold in LA today. It was a heat wave, apparently, all last week. It was really hot.
Missed it.
But now it's going to be 63 currently.
I like that every night. What's the high today?
76.
Yeah, that's good. That's what LA should be.
Yeah, well, Vegas is going to be a high of 102, which oddly is
kind of cool. It's a balmy day there.
And same for Palm Springs with a high of 105. Now, hit us with the vibe of the day.
You are going to experience miracles that will change your life forever. We're going to leave the month of August with that vibe.
Oh, that's so good. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, I tried to look through some of the news articles yesterday, but we just got slammed with hard-hitting news, including Claudia Conway wanting to emancipate herself. Well,
and also a woman came back from the dead.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
We're going to talk about all of that in our segment, So What Did I Miss? Coming up next.
So what did I miss?
Yay.
What did I miss?
Wow. We leave town for a week. What did you miss?
Listen, I couldn't. A
couple things.
Even if I didn't leave town this week.
What a week.
If you checked out this weekend, you still missed a lot of stuff. And we're covering it.
Yeah, we got you covered. We have a handful of stories we're going to cover in the next 6 minutes. We're going to touch on each of them just to catch you up.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just too much.
It's too much.
It's too much to go in depth. So I'm going to let you kick off, actually, because
okay,
I know you love this first story.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, you know, we've been talking about Britney's new conservatorship. She's been fighting. People have been coming out, talking to her. There was the Free Britney movement. Her dad stepped down. People were asking. I actually asked. I know she's very close with her sister, Jamie Lynn. And Jamie's always been very, very, vocal and protective of her. And so possibly Jamie Lynn Spears, Britney Spears' little sister, has been named trustee of her fortune and is seeking to move some of her assets. And that's according to LA Times. So it is happening.
Yeah, she's changing over who manages her assets and also $57.4 million worth, apparently. And she's also in complete control of all the money. If anything were to happen to Britney and she were to, like, God forbid, die or something like that, her children would then get the assets. This is good, though. Her dad is still in charge until about February.
But
so there's that.
We got four more months. We can get through it.
We'll get there.
I think she has her best interest in her.
Well, how about this story, though? The Jerry Falwell Jr. story.
Oh, so, my God.
Former pool attendant details
no
alleged relationship
oh
with
he
and his wife. This is Giancarlo Granda. He's talking about years back. He was their pool boy, and apparently they were all engaged in some activities together. How it started, the first information we got was that the pool boy was sleeping with Jerry Falwell Jr.'s wife, and Jerry Falwell Jr. would be in the room watching. Now, we all know you ain't just watching.
Okay,
if you're okay with that, you're okay taking it further than that. There's other accusations from others coming out. Justin, we've heard from somebody else that maybe there's even more to the story.
Yeah, there's various accusations that are coming out. So, we don't got time for that.
We'll keep you abreast of the situation, but it is what it is.
We don't have enough. Okay,
bye-bye, Jerry.
This is how I found out about Kelly Conway stepping down from the White House. Claudia Conway, her daughter, 17 years old, has been a TikTok star. She puts everything on Instagram. Everybody knows their business. And finally, she, oh my gosh, this little girl is wild. She found out that Kellyanne Conway was stepping down through a tweet that said that Kellyanne Conway wanted to focus on her family. Claudia Conway went to IG Live, said she's getting emancipated. She's sick of the abuse. She can't believe her family wouldn't sit down and talk to her about this decision. And she doesn't get along with her father also, if you need to know.
Yeah, they need more family time.
So they're going to focus
on the family. Well, a couple of real quick ones for you. Leonard Cohen, his estate rebukes Trump's unauthorized use of Hallelujah. He might be suing him even. Hallelujah to Me is
favorite.
An iconic song. I also think of Kate McKinnon performing it after Hillary lost the election in 2016 in character, sitting at the piano in the white suit. Makes me cry every time I see it or hear it. But also, tenants in New York City are saying that they did not know they were being used in the Trump video at the RNC. And also, there are the citizens that became, they became American citizens during the RNC naturalization ceremony. Listen to Trump's speech.
You've earned the most prized, treasured, cherished, and priceless possession. anywhere in the world. It's called American citizenship. There is no higher honor and no greater privilege, and it's an honor for me to be your president.
Anywhere in the world. Here's the problem, though. They also didn't know they were being used at the RNC, and he literally used them as props.
Why is he like
this? And didn't tell anybody. That's insane.
All right, well, here's insane. This is a story coming out of Michigan. A Michigan funeral home discovered that a 21-year-old woman who was declared dead was actually very much alive.
No.
She had a heart attack, but then she was, like, still alive.
She had a heart attack?
Yeah, 20 also, which is crazy. But, The paramedics responded to a 911 call that a woman was not breathing. They performed CPR, tried to revive her, but after 30 minutes, they concluded she was no longer alive. The body was released to her family to make funeral arrangements.
What?
And in the meantime, they found out that she was still alive. Could
you,
imagine?
I know. I was going to say the same thing. Well, I'll start by saying this. I'm from Ohio, and we don't actually say the name of that state up north. We call it that place up north, that state up north, that team up north.
Got it.
But I don't know if I trust a doctor in that state.
Listen to me. If you told me that Lisa was like dead and then all of a sudden she's like, surprise. Like,
okay,
I will say this.
This is low key a Michaela Gordon stunt.
Okay.
If you really needed to get something, you wanted some sympathy or just a little bit of attention, you were making a TikTok video, which you're now viral on, by the way. She has about 50,000 followers.
Who knew? I know. It's something you would do. I totally would.
I would lose my mind. Can you imagine the grief of going through even just 30 minutes of thinking somebody... Justin, you're an EMT for a little bit. Have you ever seen anything even close to this?
Where I thought someone was dead, but they weren't?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I mean, 30 minutes is a long time.
I'm going to give it a try. I just want to see how hard people would cry.
30 seconds, maybe. I think my dad back in the day was in a car accident or something like that, and they said his heart stopped for a bit, and he was not declared dead, but he came back, and to this day, I think he's a superhero for it.
Stunt.
But 30 whole minutes?
Yeah. It's enough time to see how people really feel about you.
How about this one? KFC, near and dear to my heart, used to be known as Kentucky Fried Chicken. Then they kind of just dropped that, and they're kind of just KFC right now.
Yeah.
I think because it's not really chicken, but that's neither here nor
there. That's really what it is.
Unless they want to sponsor me.
And then it's really
chicken. And by advertising on their show, then it's delicious.
But
what it is not anymore is finger licking good.
This breaks my heart. I think this is dumb.
They suspended the campaign. Well, we're in a pandemic. So finger licking good.
But I'm not licking your fingers. I'm licking my own.
I know, but you're not supposed to lick your own fingers.
Still?
You're not supposed to touch your
eyes.
You're not supposed to touch your mouth. That's the whole thing.
Okay, that's ridiculous. I wash my hands before I eat. I sing happy birthday twice. Now I'm eating. I can't lick my fingers.
Somebody hands you a bucket of chicken. You're touching surfaces that were touched by somebody else. Then you're going to lick your fingers? That's crazy. Here, first and foremost, it shouldn't be suspended.
Well, then what's the point?
What? Yeah, it's nasty. It's nasty.
It's not. Nasty.
The chicken's great. The finger licking part is not. It's problematic.
Wings, anything. When you eat it.
We should come up with a new slogan like knife and fork good.
Ew.
Good with latex gloves.
Utensils.
Wash your hands for 30 seconds good.
Yes.
Ugh,
that's
stupid.
That really has a ring to it.
No, it's just ridiculous.
All right, so one thing that has really thrived through the pandemic is OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah.
I really didn't know what it was that long ago, but this has been a lifesaver for a lot of people, creators and observers.
I think between TikTok and OnlyFans, mm-hmm. the pandemic has been able to survive because of these two things.
Well, technically, OnlyFans is not... I think it's porn. To me, it's a porn site.
No!
But that's what it's become famous for. That's what a lot of people use it for. That's not necessarily what it is, but that is the most common. You hear OnlyFans, you think, oh, I can get private, sort of, kind of customized porn, sort of.
But if you are listening and you are looking for a little extra income, I do have a friend who is not nude at all. She's a DJ, mm-hmm. and she will do exclusive mixtapes that you can get on her OnlyFans.
Yes.
So it started off like...
Cardi B has an OnlyFans now, other people are making it more kind of famous in some ways, which you would think is a good thing for creators who maybe are doing some sort of sex work or something on the site. However, Bella Thorne broke it. She made $2 million in the first few days. She made $1 million on her OnlyFans account in the first 24 hours. And subscribers are now calling this a scam. They're not happy with her because OnlyFans says this has nothing to do with her. But she was charging like $200 for nudes that weren't actually nudes. People got upset. OnlyFans adjusted their I guess their stipulations on how much they, their cap on how much you can actually charge. So now people are saying you can only charge $50 to up to $100 instead of $200 like they used to. Plus they're doing 30-day waits now on you actually getting your money.
Yeah.
Which is affecting people's income.
Of course.
So people are dragging Bella Thorne.
Well, she said, I wanted to bring attention to the site. The more people on the site, the more likely of a chance to normalize the stigmas in trying to do this. I hurt you. I've risked my career a few times to remove the stigma behind sex work, porn, and the natural hatred people spew. Now, I do like Bella Thorne for this. There's so much stigma behind sex workers, and I do think we need to normalize it so that they can have their own life. It's not my business what you're doing with your body. But she already makes a lot of money. Like, stop.
Well, okay, I have a couple thoughts on this. So on one hand, she has been very, very adamant, especially at this young age, being so successful, coming from like the Disney sort of like space, right? She has been very vocal in support of sex work and sort of alternative lifestyles. Alternative, I use that word loosely. I mean, alternative to what mainstream America maybe is used to or accustomed to. So she is an advocate. And if she wants to be an advocate, then maybe don't take that money. Maybe go make the money and then donate it or sprinkle it down into some of those accounts that need it. Maybe there's a more creative way she could have gotten this message out, because she's now apologized, but she was saying, look, I was just trying to shed light. I was trying to bring awareness.
She's doing the right thing. I get
that.
In her mind.
I get that. But then she's got $2 million in her pocket while creators are charging $5, $10 for content.
Now,
and
I want to ask you this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because sometimes it goes with like how much money is too much money. But also, is there not enough room for, let's say, Rose over there in the corner to charge $50 and Bella Thorne still gets
to
charge?
So my boyfriend and I had this conversation just yesterday. Because I do agree with that. My thing is, well, if you're upset that you're being affected because she's so popular and it's affecting your site or your content, create better content. I mean, it's a dog eat dog world. If you want people to stay interested in you, you have to give them something to be interested in. And that whether that is sex work, whether that you're on a radio show, whether you're on television or you're creating a YouTube channel, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Your content has to be content is always king. It always will be, no matter what. And if you want to stay relevant and keep people coming back, you have to give them something new. Now, I think that there's a big dust up because she's breaking all these records in a very short amount of time. OnlyFans says the adjustments have nothing to do with her. But how could they not?
Also, like we just said, Cardi B did just start an OnlyFans as well.
Yeah.
And I know that she initially was charging like $20.
Yes.
And then she came out and was like, hey, sorry, I'll only charge $10. Like,
she thought it was too high.
A lot.
She didn't know her team had put the price at that number.
Right.
And she wanted to make herself accessible, which I think is fantastic. My partner and I had a conversation yesterday because, listen, I am very progressive and conservative at the same time. And I am all for sex work, sex positivity, body positivity. I'm all for all of it. My only concern with what OnlyFans seems to be for many people is that I've known many people who've come to this city, back when I was a bartender especially, and I worked in West Hollywood and I worked in nightlife. How many people came to the city with hopes and dreams of making it and ended up becoming go-go dancers, getting strung out, addicted to drugs, losing a bunch of weight, losing all their money, ended up living on the streets because they were used by a system and couldn't handle it? They come from Iowa, Idaho, Ohio, all these little states across the country like where I came from. And so while I'm okay with people sharing what they're comfortable sharing, I don't want to live in a society necessarily where that's the only option for people. I want people to be empowered to do it, it worries me a bit.
But from the city that I came from Las Vegas, and some of my homegirls made all their money in the strip clubs and then went on to open their own practices while they were like going to nursing school. So I think that it really just depends on how you make it work for yourself. And although it shouldn't be an only option, it should be an option because it's 2020. People can't even go to work. People can't even get their unemployment checks.
Yeah.
It's a desperate time for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I think you just have to stay open-minded. I do think, though, there's enough for everybody
to go
around.
We're also kind of prudes in the United States when it comes to sex and sexuality and things like that.
Oh, yeah, I think so. All right, you guys, well, coming up, we had quite the week. We had to take our vacation time, and we're going to check in with each other and talk about how it went coming up next.
It is that time of the morning, Michaela Gordon, where we spend a few minutes checking in with each other because, well, mental health matters to us. And
yes,
you matter to me.
You matter to me.
How are you doing mentally? We just came back from vacation.
We sure did.
You lived your best life.
Okay, you guys, I've never been on a vacation before. I've said this a few times.
You always say that. Is that true, though?
That's 100% true. Because I've always just been on vacation if they flew me out to sing or to host. So I've been to beautiful places.
Like working vacations.
Like Italy,
you've seen places. Yes.
But I have to go as an entertainer.
You went to Italy to perform?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing, Sardinia. But if I'm not performing, I don't go on vacation. It's just like who I am. So we go to Puerto Vallarta. We get there. The traveling was really amazing, to be honest. Like, everything was really clean.
Well, you just had to sort of show up.
Yeah, that's all I did have to do is show up because you helped me so much. So we get there. I did 7 days, 6 days. You guys, I love vacation. I'm a vacation guy now.
Who knew?
I love vacations.
I've been to Puerto Vallarta before, and we did a lot of research before we decided to leave the country because obviously there's a lot going on in the world right now. But when it came down to it, I'd read an article a few weeks ago that kind of put my mind at ease. And I talked to Dr. James Simmons about this. He and I were playing tennis a couple weeks ago. And I said, listen, this article says that even if you're on a plane fully packed, every single seat to capacity, and there are people on the plane, throughout the plane, with COVID-19, if you wear a mask, what's the likelihood that you're going to get it? And it was 1 in 4,300. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good with
go.
That. I'm Hop good with those numbers. And we're at that point, I feel. We're 6 months in. A lot of people are there. They're making decisions like, okay, what's best for me? Now, am I going to go be around a whole bunch of people while I'm back? No. I'm going to stay in my home.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spend time with my partner. And I'm going to do that. You know, go get tested. We're both getting tested, I think, later on today. I've been tested 4 times already. But it was so much needed. And they handle it so much better down
they
there than we
it
do.
So, I mean, honestly, they really did. And I got a few DMs that were like, girl, what are you doing? Like, this is crazy. I will say this. I would never push anybody to do something they don't feel comfortable
sure.
with. I know a lot of people with underlying conditions or
yes.
people that just are not comfortable leaving their home.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say for people in other conversations I've had, you know, we're 7 months into COVID, and I think it's important that we start trying to normalize as best we can working through this pandemic without still a solution or a vaccine. And then even to that point, some people just won't do the vaccine. For me personally, I did all the things I thought I needed to do to stay safe with me and my partner.
Yeah,
we saw each other.
It's wild. Yeah, we spent a day in the jungle together.
The best day. Drove an ATV.
But it was a blast. But we were outdoors a lot. And even at the resorts, they're only like 20 to 30% capacity. And they take such precautionary measures. Indoor dining, for the most part, is all closed down. It's open air. No buffets. Nothing like that. Every single employee is wearing a mask and a face shield. They have these little mats that have sanitizer in them you can step on before you walk into buildings so that your feet are sanitized.
Oh my God, Lisa jumped into that thing every time.
Oh, yeah.
She was loving it.
And you gotta remember, like, we're here in Los Angeles, which is the hardest hit state and the hardest hit country in the world.
Yeah.
I felt safer there than I feel going out here.
Yeah, I did too. And you know, I lost my grandma in April, and I took it really hard, as anybody does when they lose somebody, but Vivian was better than everyone else's grandma, so that's...
She was the second best grandmother ever.
Shut up.
My grandma Corky, may she rest in peace.
Come on, Corky. But, you know, it so much has happened, and I think you have to have a lot of grace on yourself.
You needed
people
a reset.
People have lost jobs. People have lost their loved ones.
I've seen you just struggle the last few months to try to get through some of this stuff, and it's a lot. It's a lot to lose somebody in the, you know, height of a global pandemic, and I, in my mind, it was a cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
Like, what do we need the most right now? Can we continue to do this without taking any time for ourselves?
Yeah.
And we were not, like, posting on social media and things like that because we were trying to be, you know, pretty respectful. But, yeah.
I had a blast. I got to stand in the water. I'll say my favorite story. I had my favorite day was with you and Emil. But my favorite story was I was standing in the water and I was going, hey, Vivian, if you can hear me, like, show me a sign, Grandma, I miss you. So I was talking with her. So then I go, oh, you know, if I'm closer to people in the water, like, hi, Papa. Hi, Aunt Franny. I hope you guys are doing okay. At that exact moment, a wave knocked me out in the ocean. I said, oh, Vivian's jealous. I was talking to my Papa. So it was much needed. I'm so grateful we got to do it and do it together. If you have the chance to get out of your head, Just go do it. It's been so stressful.
And then just be safe and respectful when you come home, you know?
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, we found this news with the rest of the world, and it was devastating. He was a Black King, the Black Panther, and we're talking about Chadwick Boseman coming up next.
In 15 minutes from right now, we're paying tribute to Chadwick Boseman. News broke over the weekend. He had passed away from colon cancer. He'd been battling for 4 or 5 years. Nobody knew. Like I said, he went to my church, and I thought he maybe lost weight for a role, but we're going to get into that in just a bit. People are not too kind to him on social media, so we have a nice a message, not a nice message, a serious message for
you. Yeah, that people need to start understanding. You know, it's...
You never know what somebody's going through.
You never do, and we always talk about, so there's so much benefit to social media, but there's a lot of harm in social media.
Yep.
And when you don't know everything that's happening, that you get your little computer warriors start, you know, attacking people. But his story is really beautiful, like you said.
With great power comes great responsibilities. Another Marvel superhero.
Different superhero.
Yep. It's a different superhero, but it's a very similar idea. You never know. Just be kind to one another. So we're honoring Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, in about 15 minutes
right
now. So make sure you stick around for that conversation. But first, Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us in news on the beat?
Okay, well, another weekend of protests turned deadly after a man was shot and killed Saturday night during a clash in Portland. Local authorities haven't released a lot of details about the death, but there were reportedly outbreaks of violence between protesters and pro-Trump counter-protesters. Now, in response to the weekend's events, Oregon Governor Kate Brown said she'll authorize other agencies to help the Portland Police Bureau crack down on demonstrations, and Portland Mayor Tom Wheeler strongly condemned the president.
Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? It's you who have created the hate and the division.
Now, meanwhile, President Trump is scheduled to visit Kenosha, Wisconsin this week, where unrest has continued after last weekend's police shooting of Jacob Blake, a Black father. The state's Democratic Governor Tony Evers wrote Trump a letter urging him to reconsider. But as of now, the trip is still on.
Because he sees an opportunity for political gain.
Yeah,
he's trying to draw divisions between us. And I can't understand. This story is not new. This happens over and over and over again and has since our country was founded. At what point, as a leader, do you say, yeah, what is actually going on? What is this all actually about?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you want to know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to hear people who are just screaming for, like,
to
any
be heard?
Acknowledgement?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, in other news, more than 25 million people have been infected with coronavirus worldwide, and overall cases in the U.S. are inching towards 6 million. As the world scrambles to produce a vaccine to stem the carnage, Dr. Deborah Birx, the coordinator of the White House coronavirus response, is urging Americans to do the right thing until then by wearing masks and social distancing. Also, the road to a vaccine is getting murkier. FDA Commissioner Dr. Stephen Hahn told the Financial Times the agency could consider emergency use authorization for a COVID-19 vaccine before phase 3 trials are complete. That has worried some doctors who fear a vaccine may be rushed for political reasons. Some U.S. experts are even calling for an independent commission separate from FDA to review vaccines in light of increasing mistrust of government agencies. Oh, and when a vaccine does come, people will most likely need 2 doses, which could present its own set of problems.
Like a booster, maybe? I know. I mean, a lot of vaccines require boosters. That's not terribly uncommon. I think just convincing people that getting the vaccine is going to take a while. Like, I don't want to be the first guy.
Yeah.
And I get vaccines, but I want that thing to be around for a little bit and to see how people react to it before I just start shooting stuff into my body.
I agree. All right. Well, why don't you give us, let's do a little weather first. It's going to be nice.
Let's do weather.
It's nice. We're home.
Look, we've had a week off.
Where am I? I'm like, what am I talking about right now? It's going to be a high of 102 in Vegas today, 89 in Miami, 100 in Phoenix, a high of 71 in Seattle, 87 in Atlanta, and a high of 78.
Wait, what's the weather in
Baltimore.
Puerto Vallarta? What is it there?
I'll tell you right now. You want to know?
Don't make me sad.
Listen, I'll do it right now.
It's kind of cool and balmy
77
here.
77 right now with a high of 84. That's okay. That's good.
Yeah. I hope it rains every day.
Yeah. I'll ask. I'll put in a request.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
Yeah. Give us a vibe of the day.
You are going to experience miracles that will change your life forever.
I love that.
Keep your head in the game. Hang in there, people.
Keep your head in the game. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, it is a story that nobody was prepared for as we suffer a devastating loss of a black king. We're talking about Chadwick Boseman coming up next.
Wakanda forever!
Wakanda forever, absolutely true. This is a story we did not want to be covering our first day back in studio. But if you noticed, if you haven't been paying attention, the biggest story in the world this weekend, Chadwick Boseman of Black Panther. I can't even say it. I'm just so sad right now. Sorry.
You know,
passed away this weekend of colon cancer. And we're actually going to have Dr. James Simmons on a little bit later in the show to talk about some early warning signs and what you need to know to stay healthy. But nobody even knew he was diagnosed back in 2016 and just kept it a secret. And
whether or not you watched Black Panther, whether or not you saw him in his other iconic roles, I believe
42, he played James Brown. Yep.
He had so much going on. To know who he was actually as a human being. Mm. I know you went to church with him.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends knew him personally. They said there just was not a better man.
Our friend Cornelia shared this, and I believe I was there that day. I think it's the day she was talking about. It was the week that Black Panther was the number one movie in the world. I mean, Black Panther made like $1 billion. I mean, it made so much money. And he went to our church, and it was overflow that day, which means like you get there late, and people stand on the aisleways, and they're kind of whatever. And we look over to our right, and he's standing there up against the wall by himself, no security, nothing. And this is Black Panther the weekend it came out. Mm-hmm. Like, this is Sunday, and it came out that Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
And the entire time, he's standing over there taking notes. Nobody's bothering him. He's writing down notes from the pastor.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're at the pinnacle of your career and you're also a man of God taking notes on scripture from a pastor and such a humble person, not even sitting down. We did not know that, you know, he was, you know, battling cancer at the time, but and he looks skinny. I remember him looking frail. Yeah.
Well, there was a sad incredible post that they said, you know, he really got bullied and he got trolled a lot because he lost a lot of weight. And you know how rude people are on social media? They kind of like dragged and trolled him. And the biggest lesson that people are trying to take is you did not even know this man playing these iconic roles, being incredible, was also dying from colon cancer. That's why he got skinny. Yeah.
Like, you never know what somebody's going through.
You don't.
Well, there's so much audio and so much video that's popped up about him, just sort of as we've remembered him and honored his legacy over the last few days. But one of the audio clips that's really standing out to me is a speech he gave at Howard, their commencement speech a ways back. And just keep in mind, this is an HBCU, a historically black college, and he's speaking to his people of his experience. Take a listen.
Students, your protests are also promising because many of you will leave Howard and enter systems and institutions that have a history of discrimination and marginalization. The fact that you have struggled with this university that you love is a sign that you can use your education to improve the world that you are entering. I was on a roll when I entered the system of entertainment, theater, television, and film. I stand here today knowing that my Howard University education prepared me to play Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Thurgood Marshall, and T'Challa.
T'Challa.
Mm. I mean, in his short, 41 is not
43.
Old. I'm sorry, 43. The characters, the roles he played, I have goosebumps.
Iconic.
They're iconic.
And every single one of them was just award worthy. Jimmy Fallon also did a thing when Black Panther came out that I remember seeing at the time. It's gone viral yet again. And there was one bit where basically, here's what it is. People walk up to they see a screen and they're like talking to like Black Panther and like what he means to them, right? But behind a red curtain, Jimmy Fallon's standing back there with Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther. And there are a couple of clips. Do we have time for both of them before we get to our last clip? This first one is a gentleman talking about just the word king. Take a listen.
Darren here, just want to say thank you so much for making Black Panther. I can't express how much it means to me and in the community and my family. Thank you from the very bottom of my heart for all that you've done, for really being a hero that we really need in a time like this. Thank you so much.
Darren, I think there's something wrong with your microphone.
Oh!
My king.
I will say this. He had a tweet. It's the tweet that is, it's the most liked ever tweet. And it's a tribute for a king. Hashtag Wakanda Forever are just some of what the celebrities are tweeting out. So many people spoke on his behalf.
Yeah.
He just continued to be a star.
Well, yeah, this tweet has nearly 6 million likes right now. It beat out Barack Obama as the most liked tweet of all time.
Yeah.
So should we go on to the other Fallon clip? We're going to the very last one.
Yeah.
This one is actually a mom and child, the same Jimmy Fallon bit.
For me, as the mother of a young son, my son's childhood has been defined by Barack Obama and now Black Panther. So thank you.
Hey, that's way too much praise for Barack Obama.
No, you are gorgeous. You know, it's just incredible. I think that's something that we're learning. Listen, I don't know the struggle of the Black community, obviously, and I can have Black friends. I can have whatever. You know, my grandmother's partner, she was a Black lesbian, you know, and there was a lot. But I think what we've learned this year is that we don't know the struggle. We need to appreciate the struggle. Watching Black Lives Matter was so insane. And now having them lose this incredible human being, it's just really sad.
Well, let's inspire you one more time. And this is, these two kids had terminal cancer. And obviously, Chadwick Boseman dies of colon cancer. We didn't know this at the time, but we'll leave you with this audio.
To a certain degree, it's a humbling experience because you're like, this can't mean that much to them, you know, but seeing how the world has taken this on, seeing how the movement is, how it's taken on a life of its own, I realized that they anticipated something great. And I think back now to a kid and just, you know, waiting for Christmas to come, waiting for my birthday to come, waiting for a toy that I was going to get a chance to experience, or a video game. I did live life waiting for those moments. And so it put me back in the mind of being a kid, just to experience those two little boys' anticipation of this movie.
So we take a week off, and once again, we're back where we were a month or so ago. There are protests turning into riots, turning into violence across the country. Based on how much you're paying attention, or where you sort of fall on the conservative liberal scale, you view these things very, very differently.
Mm-hmm.
I see people who are frustrated and screaming to have their voices heard, who are sick of being murdered, and people standing up for those who are being murdered. I see these as protests. But if you're more conservative, you might see this as the world is going up in flames. Our country's being taken over by the liberals.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just doing what they need to do to save our country.
Uh-huh.
Portland Mayor Tom Wheeler, this was his take on it, his message to the president.
Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? It's you who have created the hate and the division. It's you who have not found a way to say the names of Black people killed by police officers, even as people in law enforcement have. And it's you who claimed that white supremacists are good people. Your campaign of fear is as anti-democratic as anything you've done to create hate and vitriol in our beautiful country.
This is, hearing it, it's, you know, we were out of town for a week. We were like doing our thing. We had to take vacation time. We took it. We joked that when we came back, Trump would have said something crazy and we'd be talking about the world on fire. But the world, it literally feels like that. And I know, you know, with Jacob
Blake.
Mm-hmm. There were so many reports and they were like, oh, yeah, well, he wasn't just defending these two women. Like, he could have sexually assaulted them. Like, there was a bunch of stories were coming out.
Could have.
But I don't know.
He's a Black
know.
Man while his three kids are in the car just watching.
But tell me how. And, you know, I don't put up with sexual abuse, so I'll tiptoe over how I say this. I don't see how, one, they didn't know that before, and still comfortably shot him 7 times in the back. Well, like, how does that correlate?
Well, okay, so the New York Post, this is interesting. I'm going off topic just a bit. When Trayvon Martin was murdered years ago for going to get an iced tea and wearing a hoodie, he was murdered. Teenage boy, murdered. The report by the New
and
York
that,
Post.
That murderer has done a lot since then.
Of course.
What's his name?
George Zimmerman. So he sold the gun. Mm-hmm. He sold the gun online for tens of thousands of dollars. That's how racist our country is. So the New York Post reported that, saying Trayvon Martin, something like traces of marijuana found in his system. That's how they reported his death, and this young man was murdered. When Jacob Rittenhouse, the way they reported him was, they showed a picture of him cleaning up walls from the protest previously to show that this poor young white man who's trying to save America with an AR-15 who traveled from Illinois to Kenosha and started just pointing this gun at people and shot 3 people, killed
but
2.
But the
white savior narrative is bull. But you said we joked about things Donald Trump might say while we're gone. Well, he did have something to say in New Hampshire on Friday. Here you go.
I'm looking into it very strongly. I'll be getting reports, and I'll certainly let you know pretty soon. But I'll be, it was not a good sight. I didn't like the sight of it, certainly, and I think most people would agree with that. But we'll be getting reports in very soon, and we'll report back then.
So these are the soothing words of our president.
This morning.
Talking about the murder. Reports. I'm getting reports. I didn't like the sight of it, but I'll get reports. What does that even mean?
Yeah, but he also said in regards to Jacob Blake that accidents happen, mistakes can be made, they just choked.
Not when you're a police officer. You don't get to make an accident of shooting somebody 7 times in the back who is not armed.
And 7 times. I say it all the time. I come from a police family, and I don't care what you say. He could have harmed
even guilty people aren't supposed to get shot
still,
and killed. Like, they're not supposed
and
to happen.
7 times in the back is just such excessive.
And they say
force.
He may have had a knife on him. You know, every single white guy I knew growing up carried a pocket knife to school, carried a pocket knife to dinner.
It was
everyone
cool.
I know.
It was like so stupid and cool.
Everyone I know.
It's frustrating too because they said that George Floyd had COVID. And now another story has come out that the police officer that got him said that he actually died of a drug overdose and not actually that he was choked to death. And then you look at Jacob Rittenhouse.
Even if he was on drugs, cops still aren't supposed to murder you.
This is still not a defense.
I know, but that's the argument they're starting to make. But cops are still not supposed to murder anybody, even if you're guilty. That's what due process is. That's what's supposed to happen. But Tucker Carlson, God love this dude. Rumors he might run for president in 2024. Please make that true. He sort of justified Jacob Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old with AR-15, his actions.
People in charge from the governor of Wisconsin on down refused to enforce the law. They stood back and they watched Kenosha burn. So are you really surprised that looting and arson accelerated to murder? How shocked are we that 17-year-olds with rifles decided they had to maintain order when no one else would?
What?
What does that mean? First of all, with an AR-15. Secondly, he said that he got hit with a skateboard and was defending himself. But like you said earlier, he came with an AR-15. He did have plans.
He started shooting
into the crowd. And I've been in those protests. I walked in the protests.
Same.
They were peaceful protests where I was. Sure, there was some like things that were happening in other parts of the protest. For the most part, it was civil. So now we're in America that's relying on a 17-year-old.
But we've heard the story over and over again, though, where white men are coming from out of state to cause violence in these protests. There are Facebook groups everywhere with militia and white supremacists.
Bricks,
who are coming into these situations and trying to create a race war. When people are simply just saying, our lives matter. Look at us. Acknowledge us.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting time. I think that the country is so divided, and I think it's so on each side has gone so far. I don't know how this is going to look election season.
I don't know how we come back together. But it's certainly not by having a president, re-electing a president who just keeps saying it's them. You should be afraid of them. That's it. I don't know that Joe Biden's a solution, but I do know with complete certainty that Donald Trump is not.
Well, I'll say this, talking about an amazing story where people have come together, coming up in What's Poppin', Denzel Washington actually paid for Chadwick Boseman for him to be the incredible actor that he is. And we're going to share this heartwarming details coming up next.
Still ahead on the Morning Beat, in our next hour, we're talking to Dr. James Simmons on not just the passing of Chadwick Boseman, but colon cancer, which is what he passed away from, and what we need to know to stay safe. Also, in our final hour, we're going to be recapping the VMAs from last night. They went sort of virtual from many different locations. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, what I saw, I really liked.
Listen, I was enthralled. I think it's one of the best VMAs they've had in a long time. I feel like every artist got to shine. And I feel like they gave a lot of hope last night as to what we can start looking forward to.
Yeah.
Because we miss our artists. We miss being entertained. I'm sure they miss being on stage and that connection with their fans. And so it was a really good solution.
And Keke Palmer is kind of great. I love
her. Keke Palmer is a star.
I've been obsessed with her since Aquila and the Bee. Do you know that movie years ago?
Of course.
Oh, so, so good. So make sure you stick around for the last couple of hours of our show. We have a lot coming up for you. But first, Michaela Gordon, this What's Poppin'? I've seen this go viral over the weekend. It touches my heart on so many levels. What do you have for us?
So we've been talking, obviously, so much about the legend that was Chadwick Boseman. He was so smart. He was so incredibly talented. And in his career, he had a lot of really life-changing roles. But he does accredit a lot of that to being a student at Howard University, where he was taught by Felicia Rashad. And she encouraged him to apply for a summer program at Oxford University's drama department.
How crazy is that? Mrs. Cosby is your theater teacher, because he only was taking an acting class too. He was going to be a director, and they require you to take acting classes so you understand what it's like on the other side of the camera. He had no intention of being an actor.
So, well, he goes, he was accepted, but he couldn't afford the tuition, but his teacher ended up helping him out. Find out how he finds out how he got through school thanks to Denzel.
I've basically been holding this secret my whole career. When I came back, I got a beneficiary letter, and it said Denzel Washington paid for you. You know, and I was like, what?
That's what I did. Yeah.
Okay, is that nuts?
What a reveal for Jimmy Fallon. What a get for him. Felicia Rashad reached out to Denzel and says, this young man is talented. He's been accepted into Oxford summer program, but he can't afford it. And so Denzel paid without ever telling him.
Incredible. Ugh. So now, cut forward to, he finally meets Denzel at the premiere of Black Panther, and was finally able to speak and thank Denzel. Listen to how that went.
He was like, well, I haven't met you yet. And I said, yeah, I got to tell you something. You know, you pay for me to go to school. He said, oh, so that's why I'm here. You owe me money.
It sounds like such
amazing.
A Denzel thing.
It was amazing. But Denzel had a lot to say in regards to Chadwick passing. He tweeted that he was a gentle soul and a brilliant artist who will stay with us for eternity through his iconic performances over his short yet illustrious career. God bless Chadwick Boseman. It just gives me a little choked up, too, thinking about it, because just so many people are devastated.
Well, many
about
sort of called him like the next Denzel and the sort of passing of the torch. You know, not a lot of iconic black actors, to be honest, and he's played Thurgood Marshall, Jackie Robinson, Black Panther. He played so many. James Brown.
And I can't say, it's such a testament to somebody, for whatever his reasons are, that he never even shared his struggle with colon cancer for 4 years. You know, a lot of people in Hollywood, and I don't want to be dismissive because people usually just want to ask for help, would really play victim to that, or would really maybe let that outshine their career.
Yeah.
And to just not, and to be trolled online.
And also Denzel. First of all, Felicia Rashad for reach out to somebody to help out in that way is so thoughtful. And Denzel, to do something like that.
Incredible.
And we might never have known that had Chadwick not shared that story.
It's amazing.
That's a real good person.
It is. All right, because coming up in our next hour, we're joined with Dr. James Simmons as we continue talking about Chadwick Boseman and what we need to know about colon cancer and how it can be affecting us or your loved ones. Coming up next.
Coming up in 15 minutes from right now, we've got Dr. James Simmons on the line talking about colon cancer, colon health, what you need to know to stay safe, right on the heels of the tragic loss of Chadwick Boseman. And then also we're talking about COVID-19 vaccines, when they're coming, should we rush them, should we wait, everything you need to know. We've got the latest on that. And also in our next hour, in our final hour on the show, we're breaking down the Video Music Awards. Oh, it's not really called that anymore because those aren't really things. They're on YouTube, the VMAs.
I will say this, though. Quite surprised.
They did it.
My own reaction to the VMAs.
I thought they were dead in the water for a few years now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even watch them.
Since Britney and the Python. what, oh, yeah. 15, 20 years ago. How old am I?
Yeah, no, we all remember.
It's all gone
it
downhill.
Was iconic.
But last night was sort of amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. I felt like the production, I also feel like people are more, I feel like the entertainers are more grateful than ever to be back on stage singing since such a long hiatus.
Well, early pandemic, everything was just Zoom.
Yeah.
Everything looked like Zoom on TV. And so it wasn't that much fun to watch. But they've got, listen, Hollywood does what they do.
They
entertainers do what they do.
Better.
And they've gotten creative.
They
and I thought it was
so
really, really fantastic. Also, Lady Gaga's series of looks and different masks. Woo,
oh,
girl.
My God. She said she's been doing masks and glass hats since before it was cool.
Before they were cool. That is so awesome. So we're going to all break that down in the next hour as well. But to kick off this hour, how about some news on the beat?
You got it. Well, to kick off this hour, you guys know I started TikTok 30 days ago, and I will have 50,000 followers.
Wait, what was
by the end of today.
What was our goal? That's incredible. So what was our goal? How many days to 100, Justin, did she have to 100,000 followers?
October 24th.
Oh, wow. You're gonna make it.
So I have October 24th to get to 100,000 followers.
Okay, so let's just... This is the power of manifestation and hard work, because you've gone to Vegas multiple times over the weekend to do these things while you bust your butt all week long in studio, and then you go there, you fly back, you drive there. It's a lot. I don't know how you were doing it. You deserved your vacation.
Thank you, babe.
But to get to 50,000 in a week is nuts.
More than a week. A couple weeks.
In a few weeks. Whatever. Less than halfway to your... halfway to your goal in less than half the time.
And this is what she said. What was it? August 24th.
Mark my date today.
I don't know.
What is the date
Friday?
Today?
Friday?
July 24th.
July 24th.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, huh?
At 9:09 Pacific.
Okay, sure.
And I... That's a hard seat. Okay? I am going TikTok viral within the next 3 months.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give myself some time.
So it's been just over a month.
Just over a month. I have 2 months till.
Wow.
So I got to get to hustling. Well, listen, saying all of that, we'll continue keeping everyone listening.
I'm in awe of
posted.
You.
Posted. Go on.
I deleted my TikTok.
Oh, God, you love me.
I don't trust China. They're trying to take my TikTok information.
China, that's the point of the story. China's throwing a wrench into the potential sale of TikTok to an American entity. The country just revised rules that govern the sale of certain kinds of technology to foreign buyers. The change means ByteDance, the Beijing-based owner of the popular video sharing app, would need to get government approval before handing TikTok over to a foreign buyer, say, from the United States. Now, remember, TikTok's future in the U.S. is in jeopardy after the Trump administration demanded a ban on its business in the U.S., citing security concerns. And yes, this is still back and forth, and yet another expression of the ever-escalating tensions between the two powers. So far, we don't know. Microsoft was, like, rumored to buy it soon. Walmart, maybe. So we'll
Wait,
see.
Walmart?
Yeah, Walmart and other big companies
That's
have already
weird.
Expressed an interest and wanted to possibly buy it. So.
I don't want Walmart buying social media apps.
And Walmart, just be Walmart.
Did you see, though, the video that went viral this weekend of the guy in Alaska and the Walmart employees? He didn't have a mask on, the white dude?
No.
He went nuts.
He did?
Oh, look it up.
Okay, well, while I do that, I'm also going to give you some weather. In case you're wondering, it's 79 in Puerto Vallarta right now.
I was wondering what the temperature was in Mexico.
It's definitely going to be nice in New York today with a high of 76. 76 in Los Angeles, a high of 102 in Vegas, 105 in Palm Springs, and 93 in Houston.
Honey, I will say this. Puerto Vallarta was sort of like Palm Springs meets West Hollywood south of the border.
Oh, my God. It was literally the Abbey.
Yeah.
It was. All right. Give us a vibe of the day.
You're going to experience miracles that will change your life forever. Listen, I'm speaking that into existence for every one of our listeners.
That's incredible. I love that.
Look, you got the 50,000 TikTok followers in a month. Anything's possible.
Anything is impossible.
Wow.
It is not. All right. Coming up, we have Dr. James joining us as we talk about COVID therapeutic that might be a game changer. Also, we're talking colon cancer. After the devastating loss of Chadwick Boseman, we want to make sure that you guys know. For you, I know I said it wrong, and I kept going.
You do that as you do.
We're just going to talk
Take
to
a deep
Dr.
breath.
James.
It's day one back. You're famous.
I have 50,000.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You know, we just had a conversation about the devastating loss of Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther, to colon cancer. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to get one of our favorite people on the line. We've got Dr. James Simmons. Thank you so much for being here. colon cancer. This is a conversation, especially within our community, especially as gay men, that is an important conversation to have. What do we need to know?
It is an important conversation to have, AJ, and sometimes it can be an uncomfortable conversation because people generally know when we talk about colon cancer, we have to go straight to some of the screening options, and sometimes those screening options involve a colonoscopy, and people don't like them. You know, there's lots of talk about how it's sometimes uncomfortable, a little bit embarrassing, but they are completely, completely safe, and most people don't feel them or remember having them afterwards. Thank you, medications, and they can really ultimately save your life. On top of colonoscopies as well, there are several different types of studies, like stool studies. So we actually take a sample of your stool, and we can study that to assess what your risk is or if there are concerning polyps or certain things like that that might show up in laboratory studies from your stool sample that can let us know if you need to be further screened and investigated for colon cancer.
Now, Dr. James, what age do you recommend men starting to get colonoscopies, but also do women need to get them too?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talk around this. We seem to be, for some reason, I don't know why. I mean, the incidences of colon cancer in men are a little bit higher, but not to the point where we should only be talking about this with men. This absolutely happens with women as well. And so, you know, everyone, if you do not have a significant risk for colon cancer, so like let's say colon cancer in your family or like liver cancers in your family, stomach cancer in your family. So if you just have what is called a normal risk profile, so no history of that cancer with you or with anyone in your family, you should start your colonoscopies about age 45.
Okay.
There are people who are at higher risk, should start those colonoscopies earlier. They should start those stool studies earlier, even in your 30s if you want. And, you know, I think Chadwick was 43, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he unfortunately passed and he was diagnosed in 2016. So very, very young, typically for this disease, but likely, I do not know this for a fact, obviously I did not treat Chadwick Boseman, but likely had some sort of family history or genetic predisposition to colon cancer when he was diagnosed.
Well, I was reading studies that black men in particular are at a little bit higher risk as well. And I've had a couple of friends of mine who happen to be black men, gay black men, who have had colon cancer. And I had a full, my partner and I, he's 30, I'm 40. We had our full physicals just recently. And we had an exam, but not a colonoscopy. But my doctor did do a rectal exam, as well as blood work and stool sample and things like that. But then after this happened, my partner asked, he's like, should we be getting colonoscopies? Is that something that you do just for like peace of mind? Or if a doctor does a full medical exam without one, is that something that's okay? Well, my doctor seems to know. So can I have some peace of mind?
Sure. Yeah. It's a tough balance because this happens a lot when we talk about cancer screenings in general. This, you know, well, I should just screen for everything just so I have peace of mind. There's a saying in medicine that if you go digging, you will find something regardless. So sometimes you might have a polyp and it's just a polyp and that's it. But then what's going to happen is, let's say on a colonoscopy that you got maybe a little bit early, you found the one polyp. Well, all of a sudden then it's going to say, well, you have polyps, which can turn into, they can predispose you to having colon cancer in the future. So then all of a sudden you're going through having to have colonoscopies every other year or something like that. It completely changes how we care for you and how we sort of approach your care when ultimately it might have just been a polyp. But on the flip side, people say, well, you know, if I have a history of colon cancer in my family or other cancers in my family, or I'm predisposed, let's say I smoke or you used to smoke for a long time, then it might be wise for you to check early. So this is where we always go back to, people hate hearing this, but go back to talking to your primary care provider is really, really important. They know you, you know them. You can have a really, really serious conversation about like, hey, I know I'm only 37, but, you know, my grandmother died of this. I'm a little bit worried. I smoked for 10 years. Like, let's see if we can do this. Yeah. And then it might be appropriate for you.
Well, I dated a guy a long time ago. His grandfather died of colon cancer. They caught it too late and they lost him within like months. And it was really, really sad. And his aunt and his uncles have gone on and they've found polyps and they take it out. And now he's 35. So I know that he's going more regularly as well. I'm assuming. So, yeah, like you said, like I don't want, you know, to not put myself in a position where if it's something like that my grandfather died from, I'm not handling right away.
Sure. And that's, you know, I actually used to, before I met my husband, a gentleman that I dated for a couple of years actually had really significant colon cancer in his family. He was getting colonoscopies as early as 25, kind of a unique situation, but he had multiple polyps. And so he would go in basically every other year and have those polyps removed. So this is very real for some people, particularly some younger people. And we often don't think of colon cancer as being sort of a disease that impacts younger folks. And it doesn't necessarily, but there are always exceptions to the rule, for instance. So it's just really, really important to have those conversations with your family. You know, sometimes families don't like to talk about what grandma or grandpa died of, particularly in communities of color. You know, a lot of times it'll be like, oh, grandma just died of old age at 91, and you don't really remember grandma. Well, grandma might have actually died of colon cancer.
Yeah.
And so it's important to have that conversation so that you can understand your risk profile, how to keep yourself healthy and safe, how to keep, you know, your kids or siblings, those types of things.
Also-
and bottom line, blood in your stool, if you have, you know, really bad constipation, really bad diarrhea, you've got abdominal pain, you feel a fullness, even after you've had a bowel movement and you've eliminated, if you have a fullness that's still going on there, those can sometimes be signs of lots of things, but it could be signs of cancer as well. Call your primary care provider so you guys can do an examination and get it checked out.
That's great advice.
That's
Thank you so much for that.
All right. Well, coming up, we're going to continue talking with Dr. James on the new COVID therapeutic that might be a game changer as we are 7 months in. We're looking for answers. We'll have those coming up next.
We're joined again by Dr. James Simmons talking COVID-19. Now, we've heard that vitamin C and vitamin D, both super important to strengthen the immune system and might help fight against COVID-19. Now, a new study coming out from researchers who did a collaboration, University of Oxford, United Arab Emirates University, and the University of Melbourne, all say that vitamin B could actually help prevent the worst outcomes in COVID-19. Dr. James, which vitamins do we need to be taking? What is it? What does this tell you?
All of them.
Perfect. Well,
that's good to know.
But this is a real question, though, because over the years, I've heard so much mixed information on vitamins and their effectiveness. And should you take them? Do you just actually just pee them out when you go to the restroom?
Are they? Them.
Are you wasting your money? Are there some that are just better than others?
So you bring up a really, really interesting point. So here's the bottom line on vitamins. Our bodies are incredible design, and the way that our bodies have been designed over the years evolutionarily to interact with our environment and the foods that we eat is a miracle. It's one of the reasons I went into nursing and into medicine. I think it's fantastic. So if you are eating a well-balanced diet, you are getting most of the vitamins that you need. You're probably getting all of the vitamins that you need. If you are eating your veggies, a little bit of fruit, good lean meats, if you eat meat.
What if I just had a triple espresso and some chocolate chip cookies for breakfast at 6 in the morning?
Oh, my God. You know that answer, you ridiculous boy.
No?
Okay. Right. You are not getting the vitamins you need for that meal. But ultimately, throughout the day, hopefully you are. This is a consistency thing over time, right? So if you're eating well, you're eating particularly... you know, I know there are some people who don't eat meat and are vegan, and that's super, super great because there's other ways that you can get your vitamins. But if you're eating lean meats, particularly like red meat, beans, lentils, things like that have really, really good, wonderful, juicy vitamin Bs, since we're talking about vitamin B. But if you're eating well, you don't necessarily need to supplement if you are otherwise healthy and don't have a massive underlying condition. So when people say you don't really need to take vitamins, it's not that you don't need vitamins. It's that if you're eating right, Your body will only absorb what it can absorb. That, to your point, if you're eating well and then you take a bunch of vitamins on top of it, your body's like, well, I don't need all this. She's just extra. There's no room at the Abbey, so you have to stand outside, which means you get peed out. So that's what we mean by vitamins. Well, what they're talking about in these studies, which, again, are very early, and I want to be really, really clear, they did not specifically study giving vitamin B supplementation to people with COVID-19. What they did was go back and look at years and years and years of research about what vitamin B does with our immune system. Because to sort of remind the listeners, young people who get sick and die from COVID-19 tend to get sick and die from an overreaction of the immune system. It's called cytokine storm. Your immune system freaks out, she overreacts, and it overwhelms your body, and unfortunately, it can be lethal. So what they were looking at was what role does vitamin B play in that immune response? And what they're finding is that vitamin B is super, super mega important in helping modulate your body's immune response so that your body reacts appropriately, but not too much.
Well, Dr. James, it totally makes sense. I sort of want to flip the script a little bit because we were talking about earlier in news that the FDA is willing to fast track coronavirus vaccines before phase 3 trials end. A lot of people are concerned. Commissioner Stephen Hahn told the Financial Times he's willing to consider that. What do you think about that? Are we one step closer? Is it more of a political move at this point?
I think it's a political move at this point. This vaccine, wherever, and there will likely be multiple vaccines made by multiple vaccine makers that are distributed around the world. The distribution channels for this vaccine is really what's going to be the big issue. But ultimately, I think it is much more prudent and safe for us to find a vaccine that actually works well, that has the lowest side effect profile we can figure out, and get that distributed to as many people as possible in the right way, even if that makes us take an extra 6 months. So we've been sort of working on this timeline of like, we're pretty close. We're probably October, November, I would guess there's going to be some large announcement about we found a vaccine that works, that is safe. It's probably one of the ones coming out of Oxford, but there are some other places all around the world, including here in the United States, where we're pretty close. But just saying, okay, this vaccine worked on 10 people, and then skipping phase 3 trials, and phase 3 trials are the ones where you test a lot of people, like thousands of people, you can't generalize findings from 10 random people to the entire population of the world. You have to get a little bit closer to approximating what in a population looks like. So that scares me. It scares the crap out of me.
Well, it worked for Vladimir Putin, though, right? I mean, he got it.
Yeah, and he gave it to his daughter, right?
Yeah, he made it in his kitchen, and gave it to his daughter.
Big deal.
Uh-huh. It's super scary. So, I do think that we're close to a vaccine announcement. I don't think we're close to a mass vaccine for lots of people. I still think the most prudent thing and the safest thing and the best thing for the entire population is to wait on that vaccine until we can get some phase 3 clinical trials, which there are some vaccines that are already in phase 3. They're just not here in the United States, and I think that's why it's political. So I think they're saying the United States vaccines right now that are just approaching phase 3, but not there yet. Hahn is saying that they're willing to fast track those past phase 3 so that it's an American vaccine. And that, I think, falls 100% in line with the politics of the administration right now.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. James. As always, we appreciate you and we'll stay safe. You too. And we'll talk to you next week. Now, coming up in What's Poppin', the AT&T lady is speaking out on all these horny weirdos. We have all those details coming up next.
Coming up in our final hour, we're going to recap the VMAs last night. It was a different sort of show during this pandemic, obviously, but they did it right. And it was probably the best VMAs I've seen in years. So we're going to recap the entire show and also Lady Gaga's many, many masks. I can't wait.
I mean, the outfits, the body. I waited for Ariana and Lon. It's like Lady Gaga and Ariana knew what we needed.
Uh-huh.
And they just brought it so hard.
When Ariana was performing and pinched that little mask, pulled it up over her nose one more time and kept going, I was like, girl, you're giving me so much life right now.
She's life.
You're giving me life, though, too.
Thank you,
babe. You're about to do more of that here in What's Poppin'. What's going on?
Okay, well, this story's kind of so weird and so gross. So there's an AT&T ad actress, Milana Vayntrub, and she's pleading for online harassers to cease and desist. Now, she was the face for these AT&T commercials from 2013 to 2016, but she has now come back to do ads again, but she's facing a lot of what she feels like is sexual harassment. Take a listen to her IG live. That's coming up.
Just any moment now.
I'm hurting. And it's bringing up, like, a lot of feelings of sexual assault. And I am just, like, walking my dog and, like, getting messages from people who have distorted my pictures to, like, get likes on their accounts.
So AT&T has responded, and they said, we will not tolerate the inappropriate comments and harassment of Milana Vayntrub, the talented actor that portrays Lily in her ads. We've disabled or deleted these comments on our social content that includes Lily, and will continue to fight and support her and her values, which appreciate and respect all women. I will say this, and I laughed about this with you, but you and I had to do an ad for a company late last year, and when they posted my photos of me in a gown, there were so many comments that were made sexually towards me. And, you know, like, as much as I'm a ham and I think it's funny, it was, like, really uncomfortable.
Well, I think also, especially when people know you as a radio personality from our show, at least, and that's how they know you, and then they see stuff being posted on our socials from Channel Q, I think it was probably different for them. They thought it was appropriate to make those comments, which is so just gross to me.
Yeah, well, you know, it was really interesting. And of course, our team always handles it so well, the same way that AT&T did. But yeah, you know,
I think AT&T has a really unique opportunity here, though, to do something
too.
Really special with her and really like informative and helpful to others who go through this, women, men, anybody who feels sexually harassed or just uncomfortable. People
again,
need to grow up.
There's like keyboard warriors, and they have no problem just saying whatever they want.
Well, we have access to everybody all the time now. That's one of the downsides of social media.
Do,
you can share your opinions, whereas before you just would have been at home in your mom's basement by yourself.
Yeah, but I also don't think it's fair that people like Milana Vayntrub need her social media because it's part of a campaign so that she can make money, has to now disable comments because people can't keep it together.
Well, let's keep it positive. She's coming back to AT&T. That's fantastic.
Come on,
Queen. She's really memorable. I remember her commercials back in the day.
Yeah.
We have some more audio? Take a listen.
Hey, Lily from AT&T here. I'm back, and while most stores are open, I'm working from home and here to help.
Aww.
She's so cute.
She's great.
She's beautiful,
too. I get why they hire her.
Yeah, right. All right, well, happy to know that AT&T is doing that. Again, stop with the keyboard warriors. It's too much.
We should try to get her on the show. We should try to talk. Let's reach out
to
her.
Yeah, let's reach out.
I think she's fantastic.
Okay, you got it. Well, coming up next to finish out our hour today, we're doing a VMAs recap. I have to say, I was pretty nervous to see how they were going to take an iconic award show. But they did such a good job. We have so much audio and our opinions coming up next.
15 minutes from right now, we're breaking down the VMAs last night. They surprised us. Lady Gaga surfed some looks. Ariana looked amazing.
I have to tell you something. The Weeknd came out, and I don't know what new makeup he's doing or what he was promoting, but it was so wild, and he opened it up. Then you had Miley Cyrus swinging on another wrecking ball.
Oh, and don't forget the closing performance of the night, Black Eyed Peas, the new Black Eyed Peas, minus Fergie. They had something really interesting going on with the private region of their pants, we'll say.
Yeah,
we'll
what was that?
We'll tell you about that in about 15 minutes. I'm not going to give it away just yet.
Okay.
But they basically gave it all away. That's all I'll say.
They did.
How about some
you
news?
Know, you know who's hot, though? Okay, I'll wait.
Who's hot?
That was very
hold
hot
on to it.
That I didn't know about.
Hold on to it.
I'll tell you.
Machine Gun Kelly. News on the beat.
No! Megan Fox. Another weekend of protests have turned deadly after a man was shot and killed Saturday night during a clash in Portland. Local authorities haven't released a lot of details about the death, but there were reportedly outbreaks of violence between protesters and pro-Trump counter-protesters. Now, in response to the weekend's events, Oregon Governor Kate Brown said she'll authorize other agencies to help the Portland Police Bureau crack down on demonstrations, and Portland Mayor Tom Wheeler strongly condemned the president.
Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? It's you who have created the hate and the division.
Meanwhile, President Trump is scheduled to visit Kenosha, Wisconsin this week, where unrest has continued after last weekend's police shooting of Jacob Blake, a black father. The state's Democratic Governor Tony Evers wrote a letter to Trump urging him to reconsider. But as of now, the trip is still on. What a mess. I can't stop thinking about how when we left before we went on vacation, we said, Trump's probably going to say something. We'll come back and the world will be on fire again.
Well, he did.
And he did. It's what he did and what he didn't say.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
Well,
he's hoping this helps him because right now he needs to throw in a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And he's hoping the more unrest we have, he's trying to sell it as this is what will happen if Democrats take the White House. But this is what's actually happening when he's in the White House.
Did you just make a football reference, though?
Sure did. You caught that? Yeah. A Hail Mary?
Oh, yeah. I caught it.
Wow. They're never ending.
I'm incredible. All right. Well, in other news, speaking of Trump, this week could be a defining moment in the presidential race as President Trump and Joe Biden address the racial unrest plaguing the country. Biden will speak in Pittsburgh today on the dangers of Trump's America, while Trump will head to Kenosha, Wisconsin on Tuesday. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has informed members of Congress that the intelligence chief will no longer brief them in person on election security issues. The move has increased concerns that the administration is trying to undermine election integrity. However, House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff said it is possible the House could subpoena intelligence officials to testify on election interference as a way to counteract the new restriction.
They don't want people to be informed.
At all.
That's what it is.
That's it. All right, let's do a little weather because I want you guys to be informed. It's going to be a high of 93 in Houston today, a high of 80 in Kansas City, a high of 67 in San Francisco. Your favorite, boy.
Love it. It's always cool and balmy in San Francisco. I was there yesterday for hours stuck waiting on a plane just last night.
And it's going to be 89 in Miami. Now hit us with a vibe of the day.
You are going to experience miracles that will change your life forever.
That's amazing.
I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles,
too. Wait, isn't that a song?
Yeah, Whitney Houston.
Yeah, when you believe.
Yeah, when you believe.
Okay, there it is.
All right, chicks, well, coming up, what I was not sure about was the VMAs, but from Lady Gaga's many outfit changes to Maluma being a Latin daddy, we're going to talk about it coming up next.
Listen, I'm just going to say what we're all thinking. Last night at the VMAs, Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande brought new meaning to the phrase mask for mask. They both performed this song, yes. Masked on. They looked so good. They sounded good.
My little two Italian girls up there loving each other was everything I
so
wanted
good.
To see.
And this song has been a vibe of ours for months here at Channel Q. We debuted it months ago, and it's so good to see them finally get out there and perform. You know, they almost had a chance to do this at RuPaul's Drag Race a few weeks ago during their outdoor tour. They were going to do, I think, maybe in Chicago or here in Los Angeles, they were going to go out and perform. Yeah, Justin?
It was Dragon Drive at the Rose Bowl.
And it fell apart last minute. They were afraid that fans were going to rush the stage from their cars. So they didn't get to perform it there. So they made up for it, more than made up for it last night at the VMAs.
I got to tell you something. I started with even the pre-show, and I would like to start from the very beginning because what I noticed was even with the hosts, you know, we've been asking for a lot of diversity for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We as hosts know what it's like to have to stay in like this cookie cutter shell and just like do whatever. There was so many like gorgeous black girls. There was this guy with a bunch of tattoos. I mean, the diversity was amazing. So I already felt like maybe we were about to make progress. And then a lot of people started talking about Chadwick, which was amazing, mm-hmm. and the importance of voting in Black Lives Matter. So that already set the tone.
And I think also just hiring Kiki Palmer to MC the entire event. You know, she just her show was just canceled over, they were about the fourth hour of Good Morning America, she, Michael Strahan, and Sarah. And I'm so glad to see her working now and to be able to use her voice. Let's listen to her opening monologue.
But as rough as it's been, there have been incredible moments of inspiration that have given my generation hope. I mean, we've seen heroes go above and beyond, whether they drive a delivery truck, work at a grocery store, or serve on the front lines in a hospital. And with the Black Lives Matter movement, we've seen our generation step up, take to the streets, and make sure our voices will be heard. Enough is enough. What we just witnessed in Kenosha, Wisconsin, is yet another devastating reminder that we can't stop, that we can never tolerate police brutality or any injustice. We must continue the fight to end systemic racism.
If that's not a powerful way to open it. So then they go, now it's time for performances. And you're like, I don't know how this
is. What are your highlights? Who's besides Ariana and
obviously
Lady Gaga?
Ariana Grande.
Sure.
BTS.
Yep, they're great.
We love BTS.
A little bit of their audio, I believe. They're so good.
Their first VMAs.
Yeah, well, you know, years ago at the Billboard Music Awards in Las Vegas, I was the first American reporter to get an interview with them.
Oh, my
and I
God.
Probably got 25,000 followers on Twitter that day.
Huge.
They're wild.
That's amazing.
Their fans are huge. I understand the impact. They're like bigger than the Beatles.
They are.
They're a big, big deal. I also was a huge fan. You know, you are as well. I know The Weeknd.
Oh, yeah.
Performed on a rooftop.
He looked so cool, and his voice has never sounded better. You guys, they were singing live.
It's like
and
a fine
it was good.
Wine. Mm-hmm. This song never gets old either. Also, you mentioned this before. You're loving Miley's new vibe.
I'm loving Miley's new vibe. I feel like it's such a Stevie Nicks, Blondie, early Madonna situation happening. You saw it in the video. She went back on her iconic Wrecking Ball.
Well, yeah, she performed Midnight Sky, but then also a little bit of a throwback to the Wrecking Ball.
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember that video came out years ago? She was in her underwear, and she was literally on a wrecking ball.
She went back in underwear, in these so sexy cool black underwear, riding that disco ball a new single woman.
You know
woman.
Who I would like to see in his underwear riding a disco ball or just a horse, anything?
Who?
Maluma.
Maluma's so fine.
I can't even tell you that neon suit and that pink hair.
Well, also, let's go back again to diversity.
Daddy,
that we don't always
I'm
see.
Not done with Maluma yet.
Okay, well,
go ahead.
I'm still on Maluma.
Well,
he goes up to
I won't even touch that one.
He goes on to accept his award, and he goes, listen, I'm just really proud of being Latin, so I'm going to say it in Spanish. Thanks the entire audience in Spanish. And I loved that. I feel like we're watching, like, quote unquote, American TV just become what it should be, which is, you know, multi, you know, how
faceted
do I say?
And cultural, yeah. And yeah, diverse, representative of what we are as a culture.
But multiple languages.
Well, we've been taught our entire lives that we are the melting pot of the world. Remember learning that in elementary school? Well, we're finally starting to see it in action. And of course, the night would not have been complete without a salute to Chadwick Boseman, who lost his life, lost his battle to colon cancer over the weekend. They did a throwback of his acceptance speech for his own award a few years back. Take a listen.
And the best hero is Chadwick Boseman.
Receiving an award for playing a superhero is amazing, but it's even greater to acknowledge the heroes that we have in real life. So, if you don't know James Shaw Jr., he fought off a gunman in Antioch, Tennessee, at a Waffle House. Save lives. Come on up here. This is going to live at your house.
He gave his award away.
He gave his award away. It was so beautiful. And, you know, we had a really big talk about Chadwick Boseman earlier in our show. If you happen to miss that conversation, we encourage you to head on over to wearechannelq.com. We turn into a podcast. We also spoke with Dr. James Simmons about colon cancer and the things you need to know. So we had really great conversations, but of course, it wouldn't be the VMAs last night if we didn't have Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga. Let's take a little listen to some of their live performance last night at the VMAs. To the sky. I'll be your galaxy. I'm about to fly. Rain on me, tsunami. Head up to the sky. MTV, I'm about to fly. Rain on me.
Tell me something good. We got some good things to tell you.
We do.
First and foremost, if you're listening to us, there is breath in your lungs, so be grateful for that. And more to be grateful for, these three inspirational stories to send you off into your day with a little bit of hope.
You know it, babe.
All right, we're back. We're fresh.
I'm going to be honest.
You think you have sun poisoning. I'm more fresh than you are.
Yeah, you're doing better.
You need to go drink some water, take a nap. All right, first up, this is a good story, but also in not the best circumstances. Guy Fieri, he once again is cooking up meals for crews battling Northern California wildfires. I just flew through San Francisco last night. One of our planes was delayed because of the wildfires. It was so smoky up there. The sky was kind of orangish red. He did this a couple years ago, 2018, during the wildfires up in the Bay Area. He's doing it again right now. On Friday, he fed over 2,500 firefighters. I think that is so fantastic. I wish it weren't necessary. But he's also helped raise over $20 million for service industry workers who are out of work due to the pandemic. So he's been a busy, busy man giving back.
That's
amazing.
We
definitely appreciate that.
We love that.
I'd love to try his food. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I just love food.
Do you want to tell people how you had two dinners in Mexico?
I did have two dinners in one night. My partner and I, listen, we're at an all-inclusive resort. They were at 20 to 30% capacity. There's nobody there. Open seating, dining, outdoors, everything socially distanced. And we said, it's all-inclusive. We can't decide where to go tonight, so we went to dinner twice. There I said, I gained 5 pounds in 5 days. This is my reality. I worked really hard to lose weight for vacation,
yeah,
and then I worked just as hard on vacation to gain it back.
To get it back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to talk about this little doggy who's gaining a lot of affection because he's bringing so much joy to firefighters that are battling California blazes. So, Carrot is a 2-year-old dog who loves trail running, beach exploring, and helping firefighters feel better. You can follow him on Instagram at Carrot the Golden Retriever. But these photos are so sweet. He has a really important job that when the firefighters get exhausted, he goes and snuggles them. And then they just like pet each other and he's like, good job. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a dog's affection. You know that, even with Rocco Boy.
I wish Emil told me again yesterday we can get a dog.
You have to.
We're still on the dog train. How about this though? So this is in a shocking turn of events. If you listen to Michaela's promo a bit ago, the word is robotics.
Okay, and I know it.
A guy from Colorado learned robotics on YouTube. I learned how to blow dry my hair on YouTube. I learned how to fix my car one time on YouTube.
No, you didn't.
Swear to God, my sunroof was stuck open for a whole year. I didn't want to spend the $700 to get it fixed, so I watched a YouTube video on my phone and fixed my own sunroof.
I love this.
So I'm pretty handy, but this guy learned how to create affordable 3D prosthetics for those in need.
That's incredible. What a way to use his time.
Easton LaChapelle. He's done so well. He's 25 years old. He made it all the way to the White House Science Fair with President Obama a few years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
So how cool is that? So he was creating a prosthetic arm at the time. It looked kind of archaic. It cost about $80,000. That's just not very realistic for a lot of people. So now he's creating he's raised $1.6 million to release this product. It's 3D printed, like I said, and much, much more affordable. It'll be helping those who've lost a limb for whatever reason. So kudos to him, 25 years old, creating 3D prosthetics for people.
It's honestly incredible.
I feel like I need to do more with my life. That's what I've learned in this moment.
Also, I think a story that we're going to do tomorrow is you can really do anything with the power of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you don't have the internet?
Yeah.
And now all these kids are homeschooling. We saw a story earlier today that we'll talk about tomorrow about two little girls that were in a Taco Bell parking lot
trying to do their schoolwork to use the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
that's unacceptable.
It's totally unacceptable. But also, you can do anything you want with Wi-Fi, and that's the moral of the story. So, on that note,
they should not have to go to Taco Bell though to get it.
No,
get it together,
we'll
America.
Some solutions. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much. We're so happy to be back. Happy Monday. We hope you go into your week so great, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.